وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون.
And when it is said unto them, make not mischief in the earth, they say, we are peacemakers only.
ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون.
Are not they indeed the mischief makers, but they perceive not.
Join Molana Zahir Ahmed Raghi as he unpacks questions like, do your good actions allow you to judge others? Are you holier than thou? Wednesday mornings 9 to 10 a.m. only on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now exactly 13 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baum. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online, Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you,
Maulana? Alhamdulillah, we hope that Maulana is also doing well.
Alhamdulillah, just a little bit fluish, but alhamdulillah, nothing relating to COVID, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, we're discussing the topic holier than thou in our last previous four weeks. In our last week, we were discussing about the love for Allah and love for other than Allah, and of how another word for love is also affectionate, and how we best understand is that the best amongst faith are those who love for the sake of Allah, hate for the sake of Allah, occupy the tongue in the remembrance of Allah. This was our last topic that we did, or the last explanation we had about love for Allah and love for other than Allah. Now today we go to the second set of explanation for another two concepts that come into four. And the one is reverence and hypocrisy. Ma, can we get an explanation of these two concepts and the definition of them?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Amana, we were talking of from the beginning about this concept of holier than thou and not being judgmental. And we spoke about the nafs and how the nafs might direct people towards evil in spite of us thinking that we are doing an act of goodness.
Correct.
And we said that one way of finding out whether we fall in the category of sincerity or not is that we need to know the tools that Shaitan would use to mislead us in an era or in an arena where we feel that we are doing good, but yet we are corrupting our own selves and our own deeds. And we spoke last week, as you have correctly said, relating to having true, sincere love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for something else. And today we go on to the second tool or mechanism, and that is reverence versus hypocrisy. Now, as a recap of our discussion last week, just came across something very beautiful about love for Allah and love for something else. And that is, no one in this world is pure and perfect. If you avoid people for their mistakes, you will be alone in this world. So do judge less and love more. This was a very beautiful quote that I came across, and I thought I'll share it, that no one in this world is pure and perfect. If you avoid people for their mistakes, you will be alone in this world. So judge less and love more. And I'm saying this because there is now becoming a tendency among many people that if we disagree, then we don't even greet each other. We don't even talk to each other. We don't even meet and discuss issues with each other solely on the basis of having a disagreement. And that indeed is very worrying, because that means that our purpose of doing things for reformation is not really loving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but is a love for totally something else. And this brings us to the question that you have said in the second tool, and that is reverence versus hypocrisy. And you've asked me to explain these two concepts and give a definition of them. Let's look at reverence, authentic reverence. Let's understand this concept. And generally, we regard this concept only in our salah. And we feel that the salah is the only place where we manifest this reverence and khushu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's understand the concepts Firstly, when a person stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his prayer, in his salah, we are meant to enter into a state of mindful submission. Mindful submission or reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we call in the Arabic language as khushu. Such a state is characterized by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the greatness and the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before us. The heart shatters in front of Allah as it is simultaneously filled with hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with humility, with fear, and it bears witness to the blessings of Allah whilst at the same time admitting to one's own sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a concept of khushu, that whilst we praise Allah, we glorify Allah, we have the awe of Allah, we are humble before Allah, but at the same time we are also acknowledging our weak self and our sins before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have this concept before us, the heart enters into the state where the body follows along in movements and recitation. Therefore, when a person is in this state, every observer can see the reverence of the heart reflected on the physical limbs of a person. When a person is humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the flames of one's own low passions, and we spoke about the people in our previous discussion. So when a person is humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his flames of low passions are extinguished by the cooling waters that enter into oneself through this reverence, through this khushu, through this humility. And the lust of the dark side of the nafs which we spoke are confronted with fear, with reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the arrogance and the holier than thou, the self-righteousness naturally becomes subsided. And what happens is peace, tranquility descends upon such a person. And a person feels comfortable in the presence of Allah, enjoying every moment in that authentic worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran Kareem regarding the Anbiya, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this regarding the Anbiya. They used to hasten towards good deeds and supplicate to us. And how would they do that? وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. And they used to supplicate in hope and fear. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. And they were always humble and submissive. They would call upon Allah in hope and fear. And they were reverent, respectful, devout. And this is the meaning of khushu, reverence. The opposite of that, Marana, is hypocritical reverence. Mm. And hypocritical reverence is the appearance of reverence, respectful, devout before Allah by the physical body. But this is deliberately displayed for some other than Allah, to be seen and admired by people. It's a form of religious ostentation. It's a form of showing off. And this is totally opposite the concept of khushu.
When we say hypocritical reverence, we know it's for sure. But what's the harm and consequences of a person having this hypocritical reverence?
Yes, the harms of this mana is amazingly dangerous. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to his sahaba, "Shall I not tell you about my greater fear for you than the Dajjal?" Subhanallah. You know, today, Ajib, it's so strange that so many people refer to so many people that have opposing views as Dajjal and Dajjaliyat. And in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah says, he said to his sahaba, shall I not tell you about my greater fear for you than the false messiah, the Dajjal? And they said, O Nabi of Allah, why not? Please do so, of course. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is hidden idolatry that a man stands for prayer, beautifies his prayer, and when he sees another man looking at him, he beautifies it even more. Now, this is when you do something to show off. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared this spiritual disease for the ummah even more than the greatest of trials that will afflict humankind in all history. He even likened this to a lesser form of idolatry. Now, this internal enemy is a much greater threat to our spiritual life than anything outside us. What's that? This hypocritical reverence is an internal enemy which is so much greater threat to our spiritual well-being than anything outside us. A person in a dangerous state of hypocrisy makes an active effort to achieve an appearance of submission to Allah rather than allowing it to occur naturally from sincere, authentic ibadah or good deeds. So this is the harm of when we do things not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Gee, how do we become aware that, you know, we're not doing things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the yardstick to measure?
Yes. You know, when we are engaged in the work of deen, when people are engaged in the effort of tabligh, ta'lim, promoting deen, this is a very important concept to understand. That the submission and the humility and the reverence and the hypocritical reverence. And there is a need to know the yardstick to measure between the two. Some scholars, Ibn Qayyim, for example, described authentic reverence as an inward spiritual state that is attained by reflecting on two issues. That reverence is an inward spiritual state that is attained by reflecting on two issues. The one is Allah's blessings upon the individual, and secondly, the individual's sins against Allah. So at all times, one has to, we're talking about ourselves here, Marana, we're not talking about others, that we ourselves have to always bear in mind the blessings of Allah upon us. And we should always be cognizant of my sins that I have committed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reverent heart faces Allah with praise, with glorification, a feeling of regret of doing something wrong, such that the heart is broken, and a breaking that is mended by the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shame before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah on one's own crimes against Allah. Thus, a reverent heart will inevitably be followed by how he speaks to people, how he addresses people, how he writes about people. The yardstick is, if I am someone that is endowed by the reverence of Allah, by the khushu of Allah, by the love of Allah, by the humility of Allah, to have the awe of Allah, then that will be manifest in the way I speak to people, in the way I write about people, in the way I behave with people, in the way I react to people. And how is this manifested in the context of our discussion is the whole concept that we are talking of, holier than thou. Do not judge people. Judgmental, becoming judgmental, to have this feeling of self-righteousness, that I have the monopoly of righteousness and I may say about people the way I wish to say without any thought of hurting people's feelings. That's the yardstick of hypocritical reverence. Shaitan and his devils are like serpents, lying in ambush for every moment to attack their victims. This dynamic, which we are speaking of khushu, is not only in our salah, as I've mentioned previously, or right in the beginning of our discussion. It's not only at play in our prayer, but it is in any and every kind of public good that should be done for the sake of Allah alone. When we are engaged in whatever programs we have, when we are engaged in ta'lim, when we are engaged in tabligh, when we are engaged in amr bil ma'roof, when we are engaged in nahi and in munkar, when we are engaged in Islamic discourses, when we are engaged in writings about people and about things and sin, when we are engaged in the work of welfare, when we are engaged in whatever good deed, this dynamic of reverence and the opposite of it, hypocritical reverence, is at play. It's not only at play in our prayer. It is at play in every kind of public good that is done for the sake of Allah. And what happens is, shaitan attempts to whisper to his victims that their insincere outward show is either rationally justified, or simply, it's not a big deal if you speak bad about people if they are doing wrong. And this is the whispers of shaitan. Shaitan attempts to whisper to his victims, and his victims are people that may be engaged in the works of goodness, that are engaged in the work of Amr bil Ma'aruf and Nahi al Munkar. These are the victims of shaitan. And shaitan would attempt to whisper to his victims that sometimes their insincere outward show is justified. It's not such a big show. And even, it's not a big deal if you criticize people. It's not a big deal if you speak harm about people. It's not a big deal if you just give a fatwa against people. And that's how shaitan works. However, we have already seen that it is indeed a spiritual calamity that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared more than anything else in this world. A major sin on the cusp of becoming a full-blown act of sinfulness. One must remain vigilantly in and have continuous introspective and constantly examine one's heart to detect and reject the whispers of shaitan in this regard. And again, Maulana, before we conclude with this second aspect about reverence and hypocritical reverence, again, I want to just share a very beautiful quote. Don't be arrogant about your piety. Don't be arrogant about your piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He wishes. Your guidance and your hidayah is a mercy upon you. Don't become self-righteous and judgmental about someone else's journey to Allah. You too were once lost, but be a compass, not a critic. And this is the underlining thing. Be a compass, not a critic. And I'll repeat it. Don't be arrogant about your piety. Allah guides whom He wishes. Your guidance and your hidayah is a mercy upon you. Don't become self-righteous. Don't become judgmental about someone else's journey to Allah. You too were once lost. Think about it, where you have come from. Think about where you have been created from. Think about how many sins you might have committed. So be a compass, not a critic. Another very beautiful quotation. You learn nothing from life if you think you are right all the time. You learn nothing from life if you think you are right all the time. So may Allah, in His infinite mercy, guide us that we have the correct concept, the correct fear of Allah, the correct reverence within our heart. Our spiritual state of our heart is such that whilst it is filled with the love of Allah, with the awe of Allah, with all the requirements that is required, which should make us humble and which should make us loving. And that's why we say, be a compass, not a critic.
Ma, inshallah, we're going to go for a break, and when we come back, inshallah, we'll tackle the next third tool, that is the inspiring of gratitude and boasting. Inshallah, let's go for a break, and when we come back, we'll continue.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ.
And when it is said unto them, make not mischief in the earth, they say, we are peacemakers only.
أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
Are not they indeed the mischief makers, but they perceive not.
Join Mullah Zahir Ahmed Raghi as he unpacks questions like, do your good actions allow you to judge others? Are you holier than thou? Wednesday mornings 9 to 10 a.m. only on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Are You Holier Than Thou? Before the break, we were discussing the topic about the tool, the reverence and hypocrisy. And towards the end, Morana gave a quote, don't be arrogant about your piety. Allah guides whom He wishes. That is, whoever Allah wants to guide, Allah will guide. So you can either become a compass or you can become an impediment, and rather become the compass than the impediment. The line is open. It's on 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. Would like to hear to your input also. And if you have any comments, you don't want to come online, you can WhatsApp us on 072-328-7777. That's 072-328-7777. Mara, we're getting on to the next tool, inspiring gratitude versus boasting. Can we have explanation of these two concepts also?
Yes, Maulana. Again, you know, we are discussing, we are addressing ourselves relating to be aware of the deceptions and the tools that Shaitan may use. And if we are aware of them, then inshallah we will be able to prevent ourselves from falling into the traps of Shaitan. Another tool that we need to keep in mind is the aspect of gratitude and boasting. Now, you're asking for an explanation. Now, sharing news of good things and sharing news of accomplishments in one's life is an appropriate way of inspiring gratitude. And it is known in Arabic as tahdith al-ni'mah, discussing the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to do so is actually commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Kareem, in Surah Duha, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the blessings of Allah, proclaim it. And the purpose of mentioning the bounties of Allah to others, even in relatively small things, is to inspire thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever is not grateful for small things will not be grateful for large things. Rasulullah has also said, whoever is not thankful to people cannot be thankful to Allah. These are hadith are recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Now, discussing the blessings of Allah is in reality gratitude. And ignoring the blessings of Allah is in reality ingratitude. Hence, we should not hide the blessings that Allah has given to us. But we should also present them to others with grace, with humility, and gratitude. And the purpose of mentioning our blessings is not, and should not, to build ourselves up, and should not be to put others down. And many a times, people that are engaged in the effort of reformation, of ta'aleem, tabligh, amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, many a times become oblivious of this principle. And they become ignorant of this, that in their purpose and enthusiasm of tahdith and na'mah, instead of making it a means of expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do it to build themselves up. And also with the purpose sometimes, unfortunately, na'udhu billah, to put others down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a very beautiful hadith, verily Allah has revealed to me that you must be humble towards one another. Verily Allah has revealed to me that you must be humble towards each other, so that no one oppresses another or boasts to another. Subhanallah. Now, that is gratitude, where you make mention of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the purpose of expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it should not be to build oneself up, and it should not be with the purpose of putting others down. Contrary to that is boasting. And this involves promoting oneself by mentioning some successes, some accolades, some accomplishments, so as to earn the praise and respect of others or to humiliate others. Boasting involves promoting oneself by mentioning some success, some accolades, some accomplishments, so as to earn the praise and respect of others or to humiliate them. And this is a very, very dangerous tool that Shaitan uses. And this is sometimes done by ourselves. We ourselves will mention some accolades of ours, some accomplishments of ours. And we also would go to the extent of even, you know, claiming that we have met certain people just to build ourselves up. So this is sometimes done by ourselves. Sometimes it's done by our students. Sometimes it's done by our disciples, our murid, where, you know, great, great titles are given to people. And the idea here is the people for whom these great titles are given, they become happy with these titles. They enjoy these titles. They don't even blink an eyelid by saying that, am I really worth of these titles that my students, my disciples, my murids are giving? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, the worst of my nation are the garrulous. Who are the garrulous? Those that are excessively talkative, especially on trivial matters and on controversial matters. So Rasulullah said that the worst of my nation are those who are excessively talkative, especially on trivial matters and on controversial matters. And the worst of people of my nation are the braggarts, those that brag about themselves, those that are pompous. And the best of my nation are those with the best of character. Now, bragging about one's deeds is characterized by bluster, by swagger, by this, you know, bravado that evoke pride and arrogance in oneself and jealousy and disgrace regarding others. What is bragging about one's deeds? It is characterized by bluster, by swagger, by, you know, I'm someone, this bravado that evoke pride and arrogance in oneself, yet jealousy and disgrace regarding others.
Marana, now with this inspiring gratitude and boasting how a person brags about, how do we become aware of this? Like, what's the yardstick? You know, either you're going to, You're telling people about certain actions, maybe for them to do it, but what's the yardstick that you don't go into that boasting category?
See, the distinction, Marana, the key distinction. When a person shares their blessings in a humble way, they attribute them to Allah's grace instead of their own personal ability. That's the distinction. A person shares his blessings in a humble way and attribute them to Allah's grace instead of their own personal ability. They truly believe it was or it is from the mercy of Allah alone, not something that they deserved due to their own merit. The celebration is of Allah, and the celebration is of Allah's blessings, and not of the self or the ego. Boasting about oneself, on the other hand, is a celebration of the ego, and one's personal identity and perceived power. Boasting about oneself, on the other hand, contrary to truly believing that whatever I have is the mercy of Allah, it's something that I did not deserve on my own merit. It's the celebration of Allah and His blessing and not for the self-ego. Whereas boasting about oneself, on the other hand, is celebration of the ego and one's own personal identity and perceived power. You know, we talk about we are the people of truth, so we have the power of truth. It is quite possible that a person thanks Allah and mentions His favors outwardly, but does so in a way that still implicitly praises themselves or humiliates others. It is quite possible that a person may thank Allah and mention the favors of Allah outwardly, but he does so in a way that will praise themselves and humiliate others. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعَجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِي وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. And of the people is he whose speech pleases you in worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to what is in his heart. Yet, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ, he is the fairest of opponents. Among people is one whose words will please you in this life, and calls upon Allah to witness what is in his heart, yet he is a fierce adversary. Even if the outward words are correct, the true difference between boasting and gratitude lies in the state of one's heart. And that's where Shaitan aims for us, to mention blessings for the wrong reasons. And the question we should ask ourselves then is, why are we mentioning these blessings in the first place? Are we praising Allah or praising ourselves? And let's understand this from one or two examples. We want our position to be recognized. So before giving our views on a matter, we have to mention our relationship with some senior alim. Now, this is the yardstick, man. We want our position to be recognized. So before giving our views on a matter, we have to mention our relationship with some senior alim. Or who we seen recently, or who we met recently, subhanallah. You know, everyone wants to claim ownership of scholars and ulama, living or those that have just passed on, before making a statement claiming to just have spoken to someone. I mean, recently we had some issues in our country, and there were so many people that before making their own statement, they found it necessary to say that I just spoke to someone, or I just met someone, or I just had a discussion with someone, although that discussion was totally not in the context of what he is going to say, but just to boast himself up as he also is someone, or she is also someone. We do this sometimes. So we want our position to be recognized. So before giving our views on a matter, we have to mention our relationship with someone. This is the yardstick. You know, it is so sad. May Allah fill his grave with Nur, Maulana Harun Abbas Umar. May Allah fill his grave with Nur. You know, we found that when he passed away, and he passed away at a time when we in our country were going through so much turmoil regarding so many masail and lots of issues. And there was actually, like, I was amazed, Maulana, there was a queue of people wanting to claim ownership of the views of Maulana Harun, rahimahumullah, and boasting of the relationships with him. So this is what we are talking of. You know, is it necessary for you to make mention of your relationship with a particular person in order to establish the view that you want to present? There was another, you know, example that, let's leave that, Marla. You know, we might just be going into uncharted territory. What I want to say here is that in conclusion, as we come in, again, a few quotes. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Talk to people the way you want to be talked to. Respect is earned, not given. Respect is earned, not given. It is your character, your behavior, the way you treat people, the way you speak to people, that is going to give you the respect. It's not something that you that you're going to get by claiming your relationship with people. And Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of our time, who passed away recently in the month of Ramadan, he was the Sheikh al-Hadith of Dioband. You know, he said something so beautiful. He said the difference between a learned person, a true alim, and an ignorant person, a jahil. The difference between a learned person, a true alim, and an ignorant person, a jahil, is that the ignorant person severs relationship due to a difference of opinion, whereas a learned person does not allow it to affect established relationships. Subhanallah, what a beautiful saying. Maulana Mufti Saeed Palanpuri said, the difference between a learned person, a true alim, and an ignorant person, a jahil, is that the ignorant person severs relationships due to a difference of opinion, whereas a learned person does not allow it to affect established relationships. And in conclusion, what I would like to give you another quotation, Maulana. Before you assume, before you make assumptions, learn the facts. Before you judge, understand why. Before you hurt someone, feel before you speak. Think before you speak. So before you assume, before you go into assumptions about people, learn the facts. And that is a Quranic injunction. Before you judge, understand why people have taken a certain position. And before you start hurting someone, first feel, what would it be if you are the recipient of the same harm that you are spreading towards others? And before you speak, think before you speak. They say a carpenter always measures his strength twice before he cuts it. Today, without, you know, winking an eye, we will just give a fatwa, we will just say something about people. And that's what we are talking here about. The concept of self-righteousness, the concept of judging people, without really understanding the facts, without really knowing why people have taken certain positions. These are real facts that everyone, whether you're in the field of knowledge and teaching, whether you are in your own homes and you have to make a judgment on issues, whether you are in your organizations and you have to be someone that has to take certain decisions, these are the principles that we need to keep in mind, especially people that enjoy some authority. May Allah grant us sincerity. May Allah, in His infinite mercy, make it easy for us to understand the deceptions of shaitan, so that whatever good deed we are attempting to do, it does not become corrupt with the whispers of shaitan, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, jazakallah for your time. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Maulana next week, Wednesday again. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With that, we come to the end of today's program. From myself, Muhammad Baam, Muazir Ahmed Raghi, and Brother Ziad, that's behind the controls. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.